How's it going, everybody, and welcome to episode 223 of Master My Garden Podcast. Now, this week, it's a bit of a celebration here in Ireland anyway, because for the first time in about 5 months, we've had a week without any rain. And it's very, very welcome, you know, as gardeners and, you know, for everybody in general, even if you've nothing to do with gardening, it has been so welcome. It has been a really dry week and a really drying week. So we've had not overly warm temperatures, except for last weekend, you know, last Saturday, Sunday, we'd good warm temperatures, felt almost summer-like at times. But there has been a wind all the time, and that's really, you know, really drying up the ground. So loads of people are getting, you know, getting work done now. People are getting outside, getting planting, and it has been so welcome. And, you know, there's a real sense now that we're kicking off and growth is kicking off. Spring flowers are in full bloom, and the sunshine obviously amplifies them, makes them look so much better. And yeah, there's a real sense of relief that eventually it has stopped raining, and that, you know, that the things can feel a little bit normal, and we can get going with so many of our jobs. And there's, you know, the week itself now since then, you know, has been really dry, and that's super, but the temperatures are still relatively cool. And, you know, over this weekend, this is going out on a Friday, obviously, and over this weekend, nighttime temperatures are down at zero again for kind of three nights. Then early next week, we're looking at, you know, temperatures 1 degree, 2 degrees, but not much rain in sight, which is great. So it just shows that there still is a coolness there, and you do have to just, you know, be cautious a little bit with your seedlings, young seedlings, and so on. And something else that a lot of people have flagged over the last week, that we've had a really sunny week. And again, that has been so welcome, because light levels all along, obviously we had a lot of rain, but light levels have been really poor. Like, we weren't getting, you know, even sort of sunshine in between the rain showers. It has been constantly, or had been constantly, gray there for a long time. But a lot of people are actually getting caught out now with the light levels and, you know, quite strong sunshine over the last week. And where they're getting caught out, and it has been very evident with, you know, the big supermarkets as well, where they're getting caught out is the temperatures within your greenhouse can actually get quite warm at this time of the year, you know, because you have the intense sunlight and the quite strong sunlight and light levels, the temperature can build quite quickly, and outside might feel cool, and so you could be pottering around, or you could be going to work in the morning and feel that cool air, and you think, you know, my greenhouse, my polytunnel, my glasshouse, whatever it is okay for today. But the temperatures can get quite high in there, and that can be a challenge for seedlings as well. So you may have watered the previous day and you're thinking, ah, they're good for another day or two, because that's what we've got used to so much so over the last few months. You know, you water and you don't have to look back at them for 2, 3, 4 days at times. And now that's not the case. You need to keep a very vigilant eye on them on a number of levels. Number one, the temperature in there gets really, really hot. I did see people posting pictures during the week of glasshouse temperatures hitting 45 degrees Celsius, which is extremely high, you know, but I can imagine, because we had really good sunlight from sort of 7:30 in the morning right through till 7, 8 o'clock in the evening with clear skies. And obviously if your greenhouse is completely sealed up, that temperature is building all through the day. And so that can put seedlings under pressure. So just don't forget to peep in at them every day. Make sure they're, you know, they're okay water-wise particularly. And, you know, in that scenario, capillary matting is definitely your friend. For any of you that don't know what capillary matting is, it's a special matting that goes underneath your plants. So you have your seedlings in trays or in pots or whatever the case may be. They all have holes in the bottom. And ideally, you're going to be watering from the bottom as much as possible. But with capillary matting, it's a material that will hold the water within the material. And then up through the little holes in the bottom of the pots or trays, the water will be drawn up to the root zone of the plant through a capillary action. And where that's a real, I suppose, it's a brilliant support for you in your greenhouse is that on these really warm days, you can actually put lots of water onto that. So the plants themselves will stay dry, which obviously is better for, you know, in terms of disease control and so on. But you can put a lot of water in there and the plant can draw it up through there as required. So you're going to have a lot of evaporation at this time of the year from the plants. And the fact that you have all this water held underneath in capillary matting means that you just get way longer, because if you take little pots and the little multi-cell trays, for example, 9 times out of 10, they're black in color. The temperature can get quite high there in around the root zone, and the water levels in there are not going to be that high. So if there is no reserves of water available to the plant, they can dry out very quickly. And that's why, as I say, at this time of the year, capillary matting is a really useful and beneficial thing for you to have in your propagation area, in your greenhouse, and so on. And it just means that you don't get caught out, because a lot of people have got caught out. I mentioned the supermarkets earlier, and it was really interesting to see last weekend, the sunshine comes along with that wind that I was speaking about. And I don't know how many pictures I saw online of various supermarkets with their trolleys and trolleys and trolleys of bedding plants, and they all flattened dead. It's, in terms of bedding plants, it's absolutely horrible to see, because it's such an intense, you know, bedding plants are such an intense crop to produce. And then to see them basically, like they're going to be dumped. There's no question about it. I was killing some time on Saturday afternoon and ended up in another big box place. And again, a similar scenario, loads of veg plants, loads of bedding plants, all keeled over and dead for lack of water. That's kind of frustrating to see. You know, it just doesn't make sense to have that sort of thing happening, that you don't have the facility to look after them in a way that they need. And now they are going to end up being dumped. So all of the energy, all of the compost, all of the effort, all of the transport that has gone into it, and then they end up in a bin, basically. That's kind of frustrating to see. But in our own gardens, you know, that is a bit of a challenge at this stage, and you do need to watch out for it. And again, I've seen loads of gardeners in the different online groups at the moment getting caught with that, because we have gone from this transition of almost no sunshine, so temperatures in greenhouses not rising that high, to all of a sudden 12, 14 hours of good, strong sunlight and everything sealed up. And then you're just getting these really high spikes in temperature. Growth is phenomenal now in greenhouses because of that. But on the flip side of it, you just have to watch your seedlings and be careful with those. The fact that the ground has dried up is really making things, you know, in terms of the veg garden, it was really making things more workable. So, for example, last Saturday, I got some of the potatoes into the ground. I planted earlies and second earlies. Again, blight-free varieties. I planted Vitabella and Alouette. So they're my two early and second early blight-free varieties. And I still have to plant Axona, Sarpo Axona. So interesting to try these, because these all did really well last year. You might remember me saying on the podcast, but unfortunately, slugs caused a major issue for me. And I didn't get to experience the potatoes as I should have. So planting them again, because they grew really well, but just I didn't get to harvest what I should have off them. And particularly the Axona, that one, because it was later, that one really got decimated and I didn't get to try it. So really looking forward to that. But that's all in the ground. It's really good time now to get sowing. Ground temperatures are still relatively low, but the fact that it's dry and we are getting good sunshine, it's a good time to get sowing outside. Ideally, I'd like to see temperatures creeping up another bit, and I'm sure they will over the next week or two. But the big thing is now to get started outside, get your seedlings out, get sowing. And you know, we can really kick off now. Everything can start from here. People might say this is, you know, late and, you know, that the season has passed, but it is absolutely not the case. When it comes to the vegetable garden, you're looking at, you know, traditionally, the start time was always early May. And I suppose what has happened over the last number of years, people have just started to go earlier and earlier and earlier. But cycles of weather don't overly change. I know we're getting longer periods of wet, longer periods of cold, and then sometimes these dry periods, which we got last May. But typically, when you can get out to the ground in a certain area, doesn't change a huge amount from year to year. And certainly for this area here, you're looking at early May, and then you can really get going outside. In some other places, you might be good to go straight away. So just watch for that. But definitely it's not late, and don't worry if you haven't started yet. You can still start today and have a really successful season, because with the right plant combinations, with the right sowings, with the right successional sowing, you can have crops basically from June right through now to right up into the autumn and beyond that. So don't think that it's too late if you haven't done much yet. There's loads of opportunity. So the other thing that I noticed a lot over the last week is obviously bedding plants. I mentioned them in some of the, you know, the big supermarkets, all dead in trays. But it is kicking into or starting to come into bedding plant season. And just watch for that at the moment. It's still cool enough. A lot of those bedding plants, you know, likes of begonias and petunias, they don't like cold very much. And as I say, this weekend, we're looking at 0, 1 degree, 2 degree for the next few days. So they definitely don't like that sort of temperature. They prefer 15 degrees plus all the time. So, you know, just watch that if you are getting your bedding plants out. There's still loads of time to sow some annuals as well. You know, certain annuals sow directly into the ground at this time of the year, and they will do really well from now on. So yeah, don't go too early with the bedding time. Again, mid May, whenever the last frost has passed, that's kind of a good time to kick off. So, you know, any planters you're doing, any window boxes you're doing, and the wind that we've had over the last week will do as much damage as the cool or the cold that's there at nighttime. So just watch for that. But it's a good time to be getting thinking about it now. And the main topic I wanted to cover this week is the creation of wildflower meadows. So back in July 2020, I had Sandra Cofola on the podcast. And Sandra Cofola, for anyone that doesn't know, is without a doubt the most knowledgeable person on wildflowers in Ireland. He has been growing them since the 80s, and he knows every wildflower that's, you know, even the regional ones that will only grow in certain areas. He knows how to grow wildflowers, and he knows the right mixes. He knows what will grow in certain areas of the country, what will grow in certain soil types, what won't grow, more importantly. And yeah, as I said, there's nothing that he doesn't know in relation to Irish wildflowers. And we created a course together, which I'll go into in a minute. But the episode that we covered in July 2020, which was, you know, we were still in COVID lockdowns at the time, and it was a hugely popular episode. And actually, to this day, it is the second most popular episode of the podcast. So we're 223 episodes in, and this is the second most popular episode and still gets hundreds of downloads per week. So and what lots of people have said in relation to it is that, you know, they wanted to create a wildflower meadow. And when you look online, it can look a little bit complicated in ways, or there can be misinformation. And that episode just kind of cut through all of that and really got to the nitty gritty. Now, that doesn't mean that creating a meadow is complicated, because you can walk into you know, any garden center in the country, and you'll see boxes of what they call wildflowers. Now, they're floral meadows. So what they are is cultivated flowers that you can basically create a weed-free patch, sprinkle them out, and you'll have phenomenal flower off them, but they're not long-term meadows. So they're cultivated flowers that are designed to flower for 1 year, maximum two, and then they die. And this is where people sort of get a little bit, they're not certain of what they're actually creating. So when you buy a floral meadow, which is typically non-native, they're sometimes called wildflowers on the boxes, but they're not. They give you that look of a wildflower meadow. They are high color, but they don't last. There's no longevity in it. They would have benefit for pollinators, obviously, because there is flowers in it that would be beneficial for pollinators, but they are only short-term meadows. Whereas a native wildflower meadow is a long-term, it's a long-term meadow. You're basically creating an ecosystem within your garden. And that's the big difference between the two. So anybody can buy a packet of, you know, those seeds that I'm talking about, sow them so long as you have a clean seed bed, sow them and have nice flower this year. But they won't be good next year if they're there at all. So some of them are purely annual mixes. You get high color for 1 year and then they disappear. But what you get with a native wildflower meadow is you get a mix of flowers. So there's annuals, biennials, and perennials all in the same seed mix. And they will work at different, they will grow, they will flower at different times. So obviously year one, it's going to be dominated by annual flowers. You get a small number of those that will flower in year two. Year two is going to be dominated by the sort of long or the short-term perennials, for example, Oxeye Daisy and Ragged Robin and so on. And then after that, year three, which actually can be a year where it's not high color, but the meadow will change and evolve over time. And what ends up happening is you're creating a meadow for the long time. Now, I sowed a wildflower meadow using seed from Sandro. And I suppose my idea was there was two reasons why I sowed the meadow. Number one, I wanted to reduce the area that I was mowing. Number two, I wanted it to look good because it's at the front of the house. And they were the initial sort of main reasons for sowing the meadow. But it has, for me, it has totally changed. So now that meadow, it has taken on something different. It's all year round, there's some activity in it, wildlife-wise. Obviously, you get a lot of pollinators when the flowers are out, but I planted Irish-grown bluebells in it. The bees are on that early in the year. There's some dandelion through it. The bees are on that at the moment. There's all other native plants. They're attracting in but also different types of flies. Then the goldfinches and the bullfinches come in, and they're feeding off those, feeding off the seed heads of certain flowers. And so the meadow has become its own ecosystem. And I have been blown away by the level of, I suppose, wildlife that has been attracted to the meadow, not just the pollinator aspect of it. It has been the whole benefit to birds, particularly. There was also shrews in it all somewhere. You could hear them squeaking. And so it became something different. But that's what a native meadow gives you over, you know, the floral meadows that you will typically see, and as I say, sometimes called wildflower. But in the course, so the course is with Sandro. So it starts off, it's just an introduction to wildflowers, a little bit like what I've spoken about there, the difference between a floral meadow and a wildflower meadow. And then we get into how to sow a meadow, how to prepare your ground, how to care for your meadow afterwards. Because again, we're not looking at something that's going to flower this year and then be gone the following year. And this is going to be something that's going to be there for 10, 15, 20 years time, and it's going to develop and change, and it becomes an ecosystem. and we show you how to care for that. And we go through all of that, and we lean on Sandro's knowledge, which is phenomenal. As I said, nobody knows more about wildflowers than Sandro. You know, he just, there's no flower that he doesn't know, and how it grows, when it flowers, how different seeds work together. You know, we talk a lot about yellow rattle, which is seen as being, you know, a brilliant, it's known as the meadow maker, and we talk about that. And then how other flowers and other seeds within the mix are there to reduce the nutrient levels, which allow the other ones to thrive. And so it's not just a box of seeds that's going to flower for 1 year and look good. This is, as Sandro calls it, an ecology of seed. And that course is available on Master My Garden website. So it's also available in the show notes here. So it's only €47. There's about 3 to 4 hours of videos of myself and Sandro. And we go through everything that you're going to need to create a wildflower meadow. Now, to be honest with you, there's some brilliant stuff in it, even if you're not creating a meadow, even if you're just interested in the creation of one, or you're interested in the, you know, the ecology that it creates, or you're interested in the process of what Sandro does in creating these meadows, I think you'll find it interesting. But if you are of a mind to create a meadow, native Irish wildflower meadow, then that course will be really beneficial. And what it will do is it'll allow you to create a meadow that's going to last for a long time. One of the things that we'll look at is No Mow May, which will be coming up in the next couple of weeks. And this is where it's a very good idea, in that you're not mowing for the month of May. And, you know, this is in if you want to create a wildflower meadow. So you're not going to mow for the month of May. And when you're not mowing, then you're going to basically allow a wildflower meadow to emerge from the area that you're not mowing. And that, as I say, works really well in some situations. But if you have a lawn that has been sown and a lawn that has been kept as a lawn, you have maybe not allowed any wildflowers to develop. So some of these are considered weeds within a lawn. And if you have been maintaining that in that way, then you're not going to have any of these species to come forward when you stop mowing. So you'll end up with just long grass, and it becomes, you know, as I said before, it becomes a field of silage, for want of a better word. But if you have a lawn that, you know, does have the likes of Achillea that has been just kept really low, you know, it's there, but it's just kept low, you have plantains, you have, you know, dandelions, things like that, and they will come forward if the lawn itself has been, in terms of, if you're comparing it as a lawn, if it has been sort of a lower standard lawn, then the no-mow actually does allow things to come forward that do create a wildflower meadow. But generally speaking, someone that's changing a lawn into a wildflower meadow will need to start from scratch. And we show you how to do all of that within the course. So yeah, perfect time. The sort of best months for sowing are end of April through to sort of mid-June, and then your next best period, or the next really good period for doing it, is September time. And, you know, if you're doing it at either of those times, then you'll be really successful with creating flower meadow. The episode, as I said, that was episode number 26. If everyone wants to go back and re-listen to that, it really was a brilliant chat. We answer all the frequently asked questions of wildflower, you know, wildflower meadows. We do that in the course as well. We look at, when do you cut, how do you cut, what happens in the winter time in the meadow, how do you make sure that the perennials come forward, can you plant bulbs in your meadow to add extra feature, which I have done some. I have planted a lot of bluebells in it. I have planted some daffodils in it. I have quite a lot of crocus in it. I have, you know, certain bulbs like that. I'm thinking of adding camassias to it as well, just to add an extra splash of color. Because while there's a nice bit of color in it currently, it's not full color yet. But give it another 3 to 4 weeks, there'll be really good color in it. And yeah, it's a brilliant course. I've created this Master My Garden School, and I'll be adding courses as we go along. Some of you have joined already. So Grow Your Own Food course. Again, if you haven't jumped on that and you're thinking of starting growing your own food this year, then definitely that's a worthwhile course for you. Yeah, so it's just an extra level of support, an extra level of detail that will really help you, you know, in the two courses that are there so far. It'll really help you grow your own food from scratch. It'll help you have crops all year round. It'll help you know what to sow on a monthly basis. It'll show you how to sow, how to plant out, and all of that really basic, solid information that will allow you to grow your own food for you and your family. And then the wildflower course, again, has built on some information that we would have given out on the podcast previously. But again, it will really help you create a meadow that's going to last for a long, long time in your garden. And for me, the meadow has, you know, at this time of the year, it doesn't look wonderful. But then when it comes in the summertime and you have all the birds, all the bees, all the pollinators, all the hoverflies, all of that activity, then it really is, it's magical. You know, there's obviously, I have in the center of it just a circular grass area. And just to sit there, actually immersed in the middle of the meadow, is just really, really nice. And it's something beautiful and something that will look well in every garden. And Sandro, I'll put the link to Sandro's website. Now, any seed that you need for any situation, Sandro will help you with that. And he really is the expert in wildflowers within Ireland. So delighted anyway, after the first full week of sun here in Ireland, that we can really get going with everything. The temperatures are coming up. Just watch for the few things that we spoke about at the start in your tunnel. As you're planting outside, you know, a little bit of protection with either frost fleece or bio-netting. Be vigilant of slugs. You know, last week's episode covered that, but be vigilant of that, because with the moisture levels we have had, they're still going to be prevalent. And yeah, other than that, we're up and running and delighted at last to have a week without any rain. So hopefully that continues for a little while. I'm sure in a few weeks' time we'll be saying we need some rain, but for now, delighted to have at least a week behind us of dry weather, ground conditions getting better, and we can really get going. So that's been this week's episode. Thanks for listening, and until the next time, happy gardening.